If you'd like to open your Bibles to the book of James in chapter 2, begin reading at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Loving Father, we thank you for your word to us. We pray, Lord, that you will bless it to our hearts. We know, Lord, that we are very much needful of your word, that we might grow in it, that we might understand it, and that your spirit might teach it to us. And so we ask, Lord, that you will do that great work within our own hearts that only you can do, to minister your word to us and to edify us in faith, and that we might know that faith needs a companion, and that is works, works that do show our faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is Faith Without Works is Dead, or we may say, works is the affirming of faith. The second part of the title really kind of says the point to which I believe James wishes us to realize this morning, that works is the affirmation of faith. We need faith, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And so we need faith. Faith is essential to our salvation. But then the affirmation of our faith is those things that we do for the Lord. How we go about to live out that faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that he wants us to have. So what is faith but the work of God that we trust in him? And to know that believing we have faith in him who is the author and finisher of our faith. Yet to have faith, we must also have this companion, if you will. That works must be a companion to faith. That which proves or authenticates saving faith. Therefore, I would encourage you, dearly beloved, today to consider your faith, to see that faith lives and proves itself as you live out your Christian life. The outline this morning is going to go similar to this. Faith does not show that it is living faith if it does not have works accompanying it. Secondly, I will show you my faith by my works. And then thirdly, true faith is revealed in the life of the one who possesses faith. And if we may just take a brief thought to the message this morning, it would be this. Let us consider how works authenticates faith. Now this morning, I trust that you are here believing that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that gives faith. If it was totally of yourself, well, you would have to save yourself. Now that would be somewhat of an impossibility, would it not? Why would we need God at all? If we believe that our own faith could save us, well, you say, well, then what part does faith play? What part does my faith play? Well, it plays this role, that God makes us very much aware of our need of saving grace. And what do? But we come to Him believing that He will provide that which we do not have, saving grace. And that He will bring us steadily unto true faith. And faith then must rest within the grace of God. But it must have also this, as James tells us, in the very practical way, faith must have a companion to it, if it is to be living. And that is, our faith must be worked out in our lives in a way as to show, through the works that we do, that faith which God has given. First of all, faith that does not show that it is living faith is dead. Faith that does not show that it is living faith is dead. In other words, faith must be lived out and proven in our lives. Each of us come to a test, so to speak, in our lives. Once we have come out and said that we believe that Jesus is truly the Son of God and we have trusted Him as our Savior, then we need to live by faith. And so that is the test. Will you live by faith? Will you show that living faith in you that God has placed there? And so we need to come to the Lord and ask that question and seek to live out our faith by doing those things that glorify God. And what do we call them but works? Now, I would say this at the outset. We are not saved by works. For God tells us that we are not. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, you see. It is the gift of God. And so we know that faith is that which God gives to us. It is amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We sing that hymn with such passion, I trust, and such faith that we believe that God has saved us by His grace alone. And yet we realize that there is something else that we must show, that our faith is truly living. Now, perhaps we will need a little help in this. Like all life experiences, we're not going to perhaps get it right the first time in everything. We have to work at this a little. And you might say, well, what do I begin to do? Well, one must believe God. One must know that God is and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. One must believe that faith is something that God gives and God alone gives it to us. For faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We must believe that faith is established upon our hearts by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And numerous other passages which reveal to us that we are dependent upon God totally. And so I would encourage you, dearly beloved, that you recognize your need not only of faith, but of that which lives out of it. You need to do those things which truly are works that glorify God. Now it is that we see here in James, let's look at the passage in chapter 2 and verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? And so James asks the question. He kind of puts this argument out there. You say you have faith. You believe you have faith. But can that kind of faith save you if it does not prove itself as being true faith? And James implies very strongly here that works are those things that prove faith. And so we recognize that James comes at this from a kind of practical viewpoint and also to test those he is speaking to. His own beloved brethren, the Christian Jews around him in that first century, and those churches that did also receive this epistle and read it, and therefore also you and I. That we must look to the Lord and trust in Him and realize that we need to prove that faith. And then James gives an illustration here. He says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? In other words, here is a scenario that can be easily looked at and understood logically as a Christian. As a brother or sister in Christ, somebody comes to you and they say they are destitute, they need help. What will you do? How will your faith respond to them? Will it respond in kind, just saying, well, be warmed and be fed and go on your way? Or will you have compassion upon the individual and by your own faith realize that they need some help and you give that help unto them? And so we recognize that faith's testing ground is the daily experiences that we encounter with other people, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, all those who we encounter along the way. How will we respond to people who come to us with some need? Now, it doesn't, of course, that doesn't always mean that it's going to be some area of need where you open your pocketbook and give somebody money. It may be that they need a compassionate shoulder to cry on. It may be that they need someone to be a friend. It may be that they need someone to pray with. It may be that they need to know somebody cares about them and has a loving concern for them in their lives. Faith is something we need to work out in our Christian lives. And I would say if we're not challenged in some way to do something in our Christian lives by faith, then maybe the faith that we have is dead faith. It isn't living at all. You see, I think any true Christian will respond in some way at some point and will be willing to do what they can to encourage another person, another brother, another sister, someone who is in need. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse 17 and 18, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brothers in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. So John even says the same thing in a different way. He says, how does the love of God abide in us if we see someone in need and we just completely ignore them? No, we must love God, show our love for God in more ways than simply talk. We must do something. And he says, we must do some deed. We must work out some truth that we know within the Word of God. And so we find that faith needs the companion of works, that it might be made manifest. I'd like to read a brief illustration, a story, a true story to you, if I may, concerning faith. Faith honors God and God honors faith. It is the story of a missionary couple serving in Africa. A story from the life of the missionaries Robert and Mary Moffat illustrates this truth. For 10 years, this couple labored faithfully in Bechuanaland land, now called Botswana, without one ray of encouragement to brighten their way. They could not report a single convert in their 10 years. Finally, the directors of the mission board began to question the wisdom of their continuing the work. The thoughts of leaving their post, however, brought great grief to this devoted couple, for they felt sure that God was in their labors. They were there laboring and working for the Lord, and that they would see people turn to Christ in due season. They stayed, and for a year or two longer, darkness reigned. Then one day, a friend in England sent a word to the Moffats that she wanted to mail them a gift and asked what they would like. Trusting that in time the Lord would bless their work, Mrs. Moffat replied, quote, "Send us a communion set. I am sure it will soon be needed," unquote. God honored that dear woman's faith. The Holy Spirit moved upon the hearts of the villagers, and soon a little group of 6 converts was united to form the first Christian church in that land. The communion set from England was delayed in the mail. But on the very day before the first communion of the Lord's Supper, the set arrived. True faith works in trusting God. You see, works and faith go together in many different ways. Here is a couple laboring in Africa, and 10 years they saw nothing, no converts, no one coming to Christ. And they got this message from someone, a dear friend, who wanted to send them a gift, and Mrs. Moffat requested a communion set. Because why? She believed. She had faith. What was she doing? She and her husband was working and laboring for the Lord. And she trusted that God would bring converts, that the communion set would be used. And it was. You see, faith touches our lives in many different areas. Faith touches our lives right here in this ministry and what we are doing. Do you believe that God can add unto the church such as should be saved? And while you are laboring, are you still believing that God can do that? You see? And what about the many areas of need that people have? The many requests of prayer. Like Norma's brother who recently had this stroke. We just prayed for him. And the boys going off into the military. Will God honor those prayers and will he not do those things that we have prayed? Yes, God will do it. These two are important to God, that God might continue to show in our very lives the working out of faith, that we believe God and we are trusting in Him. Another example from the scripture is this. John came preaching repentance to turn the people from sin. You remember John the Baptist? Well, he was there preaching, proclaiming the word of God. And so he proclaimed that word and did call many unto repentance and unto faith. And he said, therefore, to the crowds that came to be baptized, "You brood of vipers who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bear fruits in keeping with repentance." What does he do? He tells them to bear fruits in keeping with repentance. What does that mean? Well, that means they must do something. If they are believing that the Christ has come, that Jesus has come, they must do something. "So I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up the children of Abraham." And then he goes on to say, "Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The crowd asks, what then shall we do? John answers, whosoever has two eunuchs to share with him who has none, and whoever has food to do likewise. The tax collector also came to be baptized and said to him, Teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. You see, the tax collectors often collected a little extra for themselves. And so we find that John encouraged even those people who came to him to be baptized unto repentance, believing that Jesus had now come and was among them. In other words, the Messiah had truly come. That they would be followers of the Messiah. That they would believe that this prophecy were true. And John required of them that they do certain works of faith in believing. He says, if you really believe this, you need to begin to live out your lives differently than what you have been doing. You don't need to keep the coats for yourself, all of those coats in the closet. Give one to someone who needs it. You don't need all the food on your table. Find someone who needs a little porridge and a loaf of bread and give it to them. And you tax collectors, don't collect more than what you should. Only collect what is authorized. Be honest and true to your faith in God. I thought that was interesting that even that New Testament account gave this companion view of faith before Jesus had even gone to the cross, because Jesus had come into the world. And he was there to reveal himself as the true Messiah of God. How important it is that we realize that our faith, if it is to be living faith, must be worked out. Secondly, I will show you my faith by my works, verses 18 through 20. Yea, if a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And so James begins to also go on to say that there is a contrast here between faith that is dead and faith that is living. There is really a way to see the true liveliness of faith. And James says, I will show you my faith by my works. And then we find that he gives an illustration here of those who have faith, those who believe in God, let me just say it that way, those who believe in God, but they don't really have faith at all. And he uses the illustration of the devils. You could translate it demons or evil spirits. You see, Jesus did cast out devils and evil spirits from people. And guess what? The devils or the demons believed that Jesus was the Son of God. But they did not have faith. They were devils and demons. They were not of God. They were fallen into that state, that condition, because they fell with Satan. They were his cohorts, and yet they believed but had not faith. And so what is James saying here? But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith faith without works is dead? Verse 19 and then verse 20. And so the only supposition we can come to is this. The only conclusion is this. That you may say you have faith, like, well, even the demons said they had faith in the sense that they believed, but they really did not believe in the sense of true faith, living faith. It was not living faith. They just knew that Jesus was the Son of God. There are many people who say Jesus is the Son of God, but they have not true faith. Now, that doesn't take a crystal ball to know that. There are many who profess God. There are many who say they believe in God, but yet they have not faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so James just adds this, if you will, another brick on the great argument that faith must be living to prove itself. Faith must be living. We are not justified by works, but by faith. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now see, true faith is by grace. True faith rejoices in the hope that we have in God. And so this morning, I trust that you are rejoicing in that hope that you have in Christ. And if you have that hope in Christ, then live out that faith that is living in you. Live it out by doing those things that glorify God. Faith and works, though they complement one another, are entirely different. Faith is different than works. There is no argument there. This grace wherein we stand is that grace wherein God has shown his favor unto us. Faith is that channel, if you will, whereby grace comes and bestows favor upon us. But what of works? Well, works, this is the manifestation of life. The living faith that is bestowed upon us by the grace of God. How will you show your faith? Will you show it without works? James says you cannot. Will you show it by your works? James says you must. And so we would look at this area of need in our Christian lives as one of practicality. How are we doing today? Are we carrying out this great practical test of our Christian lives, you see? Are we living out the faith that we say that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ? Our responsibility is to walk in the good works that grace and faith produce. Might also say this, that as we consider the liveliness of faith, we must recognize that faith is something that God wants us to show to other people. You may say, well, I have many family members. I don't understand why they don't really see me as a true Christian. Well, maybe it's because you're not living out faith in front of them the way you should. Perhaps it is that you need to be more bold in your faith, to trust in God, and to live out those things that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a certain confession of our faith. Hebrews talks about that, and I'll read a couple of verses here in chapter 10 and verse 23 to 27. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith or hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So in the book of Hebrews, we even find that this works is to be lived out in that sense of stirring up one another in those things that prove faith. And so we find faith is important to our confession of faith. The illustration is given of a pelican. Everybody knows what a pelican is. You've probably seen one of those big birds, and they have a long beak with a little a little pouch under their beak. And the illustration is given of a pelican who has swallowed a frog. Well, he's trying to. Got his mouth wide open. The frog is in his mouth, but his legs are hanging out. And the frog has his hands right around the pelican's neck, so he can't swallow him. And the caption is, "Don't ever give up." Faith doesn't give up. Faith believes. Faith trusts in God. You know, there may be many things in the world trying to swallow us up. Doubts and fears and unbelief and all kinds of things that challenge us. But be like the frog. Hold on to the pelican's neck so he can't swallow it. He can't swallow you down. In other words, hang in there. Keep on keeping on for the Lord. Believe that the faith that you have is truly that faith which God has given to you because of your relationship to Christ. You see, we must believe His Word. If we look back to ourselves, we will soon despair. We must look to the Lord. We must ask Him to work out in our lives such as He has given to us, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and to know that He will bless us and encourage us in those things. Faith requires us not only to believe, but to serve the Lord. You see, don't give up serving. Like the Moffat family who was in Botswana, and they were serving for 10 years before any results ever came forward. They were laboring. They believed. And they couldn't give up. They had to continue. And God rewarded that faith. Faith without works is barren. That's what the word means, in the sense that it isn't alive. It's barren. It's inactive. It's like money in your savings account when the bank won't give you any. You say, "Well, why should I leave it there? There's nothing coming in." Well, see, that's kind of inactive, isn't it? You may as well take your money out. Or faith that is dead is like this, a land with no crops. You ever plant something? Nothing came up? I said, "My goodness, that didn't do any good. It's dead. The garden's dead. The seeds must have been rotten. Bad seeds." Well, faith that is dead is like that. It's like a barren garden. Faith that is dead is like a bank account with no interest. But God wants us to trust Him, you see. God wants us to trust Him because His faith is living faith. I would encourage you to know this. If you know the Lord Jesus and you have true faith, your faith is living. So trust God to work through you. Believe that God will do something with you. God will do something in your life. He will help you to show your faith to others. You say, "Well, others don't notice it." That's not your problem. That's not your problem that they don't notice. It's our problem if we don't do nothing, you see. And so we want to be faithful. We want to continue and serve the Lord and show our faith by our works. Hebrews 10:24, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." The word here in the King James is provoke, to provoke one another unto love and good works. It actually means to stir up. Today's word, usage of the word for provoke means more in a negative usage. It means offend. If you provoke somebody, you might offend somebody or irritate someone or incense someone. Well, maybe you have provoked somebody like that. I don't know. But the original meaning of the word is this: to arouse, to excite, or to call to action. To arouse, to excite, or to call to action. Now see, that's what we are to do for one another. We are to arouse one another. We are to excite one another. We are to call one another to action in serving God, in living out our faith, in doing those things that God would have us to do. And if we will do that, we will see that living faith more active. We will see it. True faith is revealed in the life of those who possess it. Now, this is the last, and we see that in verses 21 to 26, and we won't have to take a lot of time on this because you probably know both of these people that James is going to be bringing up in the conversation. Verse 26, well, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. James uses Abraham as an example of an individual that believed God and that had faith, and that faith being lived out when God required him to do something, Abraham went ahead and did the very thing that God asked of him. Now that was a difficult thing, of course, and it stands alone in Scripture and is given there precisely for one reason: to show us not only the faithfulness of God, but to show us that we must believe God too. We must believe Him. If someone like Abraham in this position believed God and trusted God, and God was faithful, and we do far less, don't we? Shouldn't we believe God? Shouldn't we trust Him? Shouldn't we be willing to follow through with true faith and do those things that God knows that we should do? And so James uses Abraham as an example. The second person he uses is Rahab, verse 25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? And Rahab, if you are familiar with the Old Testament account, she was a harlot, a prostitute in the term today. In other words, she was not an upstanding citizen of the business association. No, even though she was carrying on some kind of business. But no, she was a sinner. But guess what? Rahab believed God when everybody else in Jericho didn't believe God. When they didn't fear God, Rahab feared God. And she knew that if she did not believe God and did not have faith, she would perish like the rest of the great city of Jericho. And so the spies came into the city, and who did they encounter but Rahab? And when they encountered her, what did she do? She hid the spies. She hid those men of Israel, because she knew the God of Israel was truly a God to be feared. And so she showed her faith by the works that she did, and she protected those people and kept them safe that they might escape another way. Rahab believed God. See, we must also believe God, because God requires us to show the faith that He has given to us. Hebrews 11:31, by faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies, or when she had received the spies with peace, she received them. And so it is that God wants us to use the very faith that He has given to us. Faith does not show that it is living unless we go out and do something, you see. And James says, I will show you my faith by my works. And that faith is revealed in the lives of those who truly possess it. Abraham possessed it, it was shown. Rahab possessed it, it was shown. If you possess it, it will also be shown. But you see, it is my job to stir you up unto that, to excite you to it, to arouse you to it, to cause you to be aware of the need to do it. We are to provoke one another unto love and good works. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we do thank you for your grace to us, for the mercies you give, for the grace which saves, and for the faith which is lived out in our lives in a very practical way. Bless each one of us that we might trust you this week and live out our faith, doing good works, glorifying you, and proving our relationship to you. In Jesus' name, amen.